costs us too much. Your state ferries are a prime example of that. We've got $43 million we've invested in a marine maintenance facility in Ketchikan. It's leased out. Every time Todd Shipyards bids less, the ferry boat ends up going to Seattle or Portland. Then you got to fly all your inspectors back and forth. You got your crews on per diem and the rest of it. Huge cost differential. They're supposed to call that the interport differential. All they look at, though, really is the cost of driving the ship from Seattle back up. If you look at the cost of administration, very, very high. And so I'm pleased with that as I can conceive it applying to that situation. But I'm very confused on the other aspects that without a good tight definition, an administrative agency could go out for bid, think they've got a valid bid, think they're dealing with the right people, only to have every other unsuccessful bidder come in and want to argue their administrative costs that, you know, to supervise this guy's going to cost you more because he's from Sleepy or someplace as opposed to downtown Anchorage. And, I think, boy, with us a really tight definition, it's going to cause some major problems to agencies.
Mr. Chairman, we've been working on this basic definition. I'd like to let you know, Representative Taylor, that what we can't do is stifle the agency from doing its work. But what we need to do is look, this bill is not a complete bill from the standpoint of everything this representative would like to see done in the state of Alaska and with the different agencies, the court system, the university, the railroad. This bill doesn't address those people because there are some very, strong reasons for why some of our agencies aren't carried under the procurement code or under other areas that will be addressed in a later time. This bill tries to get at the bulk of the problems that Alaskan businesses are experiencing in doing business with the state. We're not talking about preference. We are not talking about if you say low and responsive bidder, that there's only one person that bids on a product in Alaska. He's the only one that submitted a bid. He jacks the bid up 80%, and all of a sudden they've got parts for a computer or something that is exorbitant amount of money compared to if they'd ordered the damn thing out of a catalog. And that is not the intent of this bill. The intent of this bill is to let every procurement officer know in the state of Alaska that we want you to see what you can do about using Alaskan manufacturers and Alaskan services whenever possible when you get a responsive and responsible bid, or as Representative Parnell said it. Now, it's not the intent of this bill to restrict the administrator or the procurement officer from identifying the problems. Nobody bid on the doggone thing. Or, other bids have come in at $6,000 for this particular item, and suddenly we just have one bid from Alaska that's $12,000. We need to allow the procurement officers the latitude of determining what a responsive and responsible bid is. Because as members of this legislature, we need to control our cost of government. It's the bottom line there that I'm looking for. It's the common ground that will allow, we will instruct and make as a matter of law that procurement officers will identify all the costs before they determine the low bid in this section.
Representative Taylor has a question, but let me ask something first. Is there anyone here anyone here to testify on this bill wouldn't be able to testify next Tuesday at the same time, 1 p.m.? I'm worried. It's pretty clear we aren't going to get everyone in. Is anyone here out of town who needs to testify today? Okay. Representative Taylor.
Yeah. I just wanted to relate that over the last 7 years, I've watched this attempt. Well, we put through that huge procurement code, which basically hamstrung every agency we've got because they found it very, very difficult to comply. And the main thrust behind the procurement code was we were sick and tired of watching them buy everything out of state. We couldn't get the railroad on board. I don't know if we still have one on board, do we? I think they finally came on, didn't they? Well, they did it by their own regs instead of ours, if I remember right. They said they would pass something substantially the same or similar to what we had passed, which meant they still got to waffle on certain areas. The best example I can give you, I've got sawmills in my district that cut a higher quality railroad tie out of second growth hemlock in particular than what you actually get out of oak. But where has our Alaska Railroad purchased all of its railroad ties? North Carolina and Virginia, and they ship them all the way across the United States to bring them up here so we can put them into railroad. We're trying to get a creosote plant going so that we can have a, because all the timbers and stuff, everything located in southeast Alaska, you know, it's sitting on treated wood. Half this town at one time was, and yet you couldn't get one in the state because of the cost of putting one in. You had to have some market for your product. I fought and screamed over this thing for 4 or 5 years, only to have the railroad duck and dodge and go around me, and finally we got them to say they would only take an Alaskan bidder on it. And you know who they ended up with for a bidder? A guy who didn't speak very good English, and he had a little computer and a telephone in his basement in Anchorage. And all of a sudden he was in the tie business because he'd also been buying certain kinds of paint and selling those as an Alaska bidder to oil companies. We found out this little guy, just a broker, sat in his basement in Anchorage and typed up paper and shipped it around. He gave a 5% bidder preference. A lot of products, you have a hard time finding a 5% net profit at the end of the thing. So the company outside gets together with the little guy in Anchorage in his basement, and all of a sudden we've got a quote pseudo-Alaska business forcing them to purchase the railroad ties through the little guy in the basement, you know. I mean, we went through lots of problems on that thing. And I applaud very, very sincerely what you're trying to do, but I'm also aware of many of the pitfalls in this whole process, and I'll do everything I can, Mr. Choquette, to help you overcome those pitfalls to make a workable relationship between our state agencies as they go into the market to purchase things, and the private sector as it attempts to provide them with goods and services. I just want you to understand that, boy, there are some real major pitfalls here that we have to be very careful of.
Thank you, Representative Taylor. There's a lot of offenders out there right now, and I hate to respond to your statement, but I got to take the railroad side on those ties. I had worked with Mr. Turpin and said, come on, Frank, let's buy Alaska. And he split the bid up. And he split the bid up between an outfit in Tenneker and Talkeetna and an outfit in Wrangell. And nobody produced. They ended up going outside and spending $25 a tie more because they just didn't make the construction season. And that's a bummer. But it's still... So somewhere there's got to be, we've got to be responsive as Alaskan businesses also. And I don't know, but anyway, that's, it is. Can I continue, Mr. Chairman? The third section of the bill deals, or the third point that the bill brings up is Section 7. Which is providing the state agencies must first solicit inside the state for construction contracts, procurement orders, and employees. That's a combination of Section 7 and Section 10. Section 7, the intent of this legislation, however it's written and however it's read, the intent of this legislation is, hey, how come the New York Times gets the RFP before the Anchorage Times does? One of the things that we can do in Alaska constitutionally sound is to advertise in Alaska and only Alaska for the first portion of it for our goods and our services and our personnel. And this section right here simply states that you will advertise in Alaska for 21 days, or you will have a determination that there does not appear to be at least two competitive bids in Alaska and therefore are going ahead and going outside. Now, I've had this conversation with a couple of the administrative directors in state government. There are some concerns over this, and I'm going to let them bring it up, and I'll provide them. But understand, once again, what the intent is. We need to do everything we can to get the work to elections.
Representative Ivan, ask a question.
Yes, I tried to bring this out earlier with my mistake. This is soliciting out-of-state employee. And in the earlier draft, I've seen the word 12 weeks or 15 weeks down to 4 weeks. I'm trying to give our folks out in rural Alaska, and that sounds like a broken record, notified to. Will this 4 weeks be enough? And we have people from personnel here that can tell us how the notices go out.
Representative Lincoln called me today and also voiced concern over that. Frankly, whatever gets the job done is fine by me. Whatever this committee decides, whatever the legislature decides, I took it down at a request from a couple of people that said, whoa, what if we need them right away? And we got to go through this much time in Alaska, and then we got to go and do it outside after that if nobody responds.
Thank you.
But I would be amendable to any number that you feel comfortable with, and that we can get their response at a later time when we deal with that portion of the bill.
I appreciate the intent of this bill, and it's trying to satisfy that. If 4 weeks is enough to satisfy it, I have no problem with it. I'm just trying to get to our folks out
gotcha.
There that we'd like to go over
gotcha.
Before we look for somebody from lower four. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ivan. That will be a matter of which the sponsor of this bill and its many co-sponsors are just trying to find the right number there and the right time to make it compatible. The fourth section of the bill allows procurement officers to structure the purchasing order so that Alaskan bidders are capable of competing for the work. This was a matter of administration from Governor Cooper. He started this for us through Make It Alaskan a couple of years back, and that simply said, if you've got a $10 million printing contract, and we don't have any printers in Alaska that can do that much, split it into four to $250,000 contracts. Take a look at the contract that you're putting out. Have you adequately designed it so that no Alaskans can do the work? Can you change the design so that Alaskan businesses can do the work? And that's what this section looks at. And this section instructs the procurement officers and the administrators to take a look at what you're bidding. Is it too much for one company to do? Let's split it up and have two companies do it. Is it a situation where we've adequately taken, because of the way it's worded or because of the way it's designed, we've adequately taken and eliminated all Alaskan businesses to build on the project? An example was a permanent fund booklet. And other things where we're using our money, and it was printed in Alaska this year. But that was an example that comes to mind to me. There's more than one example. I'm sure you can get print shops and other people that provide services that, you know, the qualifications for the job are such that they're written in that it's one company down in California or something like that. So this section just deals with, let's take a look at what we're sending out. Is there any way to make it easier for Alaskans to bid on the project? Section 5 requires that all state publications be printed within the state when practical. That's very simple and self-explanatory. Obviously, we don't have the resources to make large maps in Alaska. We don't have the resources to do a Japanese publication that the Department of Commerce, Division of Tourism might use in Japan or Korea. But when it's practical, why are we getting our printing done outside? It's that simple. The sixth section says, providing that a bid is not responsive to a procurement unless the bidder has made reasonable attempts to utilize goods and services available in the state. This is the heat of the bill, the meat, the bulk of what we're trying to do, because it takes the money given by the state one step further. We do a contract, the state lets out a contract, and you get all these bids. Now the procurement officer is going to have the right to say, where are you going to spend your money? Are you going to bring in outside contractors to do the work? Are you going to have the girders made locally? Or are you going to have them made in Tacoma and shipped up? What's the price difference? Now, this is not going to become a matter of law, but it is going to become a situation to where the state directors of administration and the procurement officers are looking at these other bids in terms of their responsiveness. And whether or not they're utilizing efforts when practical for local subcontractors, manufacturers, providers of services, and suppliers. The wording this point, Joan and I had more trouble wording this single paragraph on page 5, section 18. And if anybody here has a better way to word it, please share it with us. It's section 9. And the last portion that the bill deals with is amending the subcontractor section of the procurement code to require apparent low bidders and offerors to identify the subcontractors they plan on utilizing for the contract and requiring these subcontractors to have a valid Alaskan registration or business license.
That's section 5, page 4.
Section 5, page 4. And in the...
It's hard to follow you.
As far as we know... I haven't seen a zero fiscal note. I haven't seen a fiscal note. I have something here from Mr. Link of General Services. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to discuss it over with Mr. Link because neither Joan or myself feels that he understands the intent in this area. You have a fiscal note with a bunch of asterisks, and then you have an attachment, and at any time in the course of this, we can bring this up now if you'd like to come explain it. Mr. Link, it would be the chairman's it doesn't relate to my bill, our bill.
I want the sponsor to know I have tremendous empathy for what he's trying to accomplish here. But I want to refer the committee to a comment given to me when I first served in public office on the Borough Assembly in Ketchikan by a dear departed friend of mine by the name of Al Roberts. Rest his soul. Looked down the table at us one evening and he said, "You know, Rob, you just can't legislate common sense. That's something you got to hire a good administrator to do and hope that they got the good common sense to carry it out. And I'll do everything I can to legislate some common sense into this system with you, David. But sooner or later, we're going to have to trust some of the people we've hired to make good decisions. And if, in fact, they're not making decisions that benefit Alaskans and Alaskan business, then maybe we've got a boss sitting on the third floor that's willing to can them if they're not and replace them with someone who will. But I'll follow through to the end of the time here with you on this thing to try and make it work that way."
And I'd just like to add, Representative Choquette, I think I've worked a whole lot with the Farm Administration in the past on some of these procurement matters, and specifically Mr. Link has been tremendously helpful. Their understanding of the complexities of this stuff is just critical, and I think we'll find in the end that they'll be a big answer to us in figuring out how to deal with this. Representative Parnell?
If I could, Mr. Chairman, respond to your sure. question there. Mr. Link and I sat for hours. We made lots of changes to this. He's probably the one that's 80% the reason we have a sponsor substitute already. Representative Donnelly has worked on this issue for years. He was our person when I was president of Make It Alaskan. We have a committee of people that understand the problem, and we have some very adequate staff and some very competent administrators working for the government. And it's I just don't understand what Bob's written here. It's simply we'll get together and get on it.
And like, unless someone's got some real pressing question, we're going to have this before us again a week from today on Tuesday. Anything we have to say today?
Yes.
Have to?
Yes. I just want to red flag a few things. This amendment number one, I know the sponsors made a good big effort to work with the administration on this. I mean, this is something that I think we killed last year because somebody was trying to do this, and it weakened this, and number two here, well, it weakened the existing procurement code for electric businesses and corporations, and I'm going to oppose those again this year. I hope they don't get incorporated in the sponsor's bill, because, you know, I really like the thrust of this bill, and I think these things are antithetical to this bill.
Mr. Chairman, it's not my intention to offer these amendments now. I'm putting them in the packets and those amendments, the one and two, came from state. So, yes, look forward to discussing.
Okay. I just wanted to warn people that I got real problems with those.
Okay, we're going to take the bill we didn't get to today and hold it over till Thursday, put it first thing. That's House Bill 159. This one will hold over till Tuesday, which I think is free. I get the impression it may take a full meeting to plod to this one. Catherine Reardon, who's standing behind me, is working on this bill. Anyone on the committee who's got any problems, pass them on to her. She'll work with the sponsor administration. Hopefully it'll be a little bit farther along on Tuesday. I think it's realistic that we can get through it on Tuesday. Any final comments anyone has on anything in the world? Okay, hearing that, maybe sure.